Good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Feel the Podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host. I hope everyone had a great weekend and opportunity to relax, relate, release. I know I certainly did, and I was grateful for it. Zeta came through here last week, and just to be clear, that is the tropical storm hurricane, not the sorority. but it came through Georgia last week and ruffled some feathers, created some issues for many of us with our power and our electricity. I know I lost power for an entire day. Luckily, I had a friend who opened up their home to me so I could come and do some work. But I had other friends who were without power for 24 plus hours. Others who had power the entire day and lost it that evening and then were without power for the next 24 to 48 hours. And some people who are still experiencing not having power or having had power and now it's gone off. So it's been crazy. And of course, it hasn't helped anyone's anxiety with what's going on this week, particularly today, November 3rd, Election Day, where many people have said the soul of our country is at stake. I spoke about voting last week. I thought it was important to have that conversation because of this platform. I know that in many ways I was preaching to the choir, but my hope was that if you had some member of your family or some member of a friend group who perhaps was on the fence or still kind of confused about voting and why it's important, that you were able to share that with them. And even share just facts and tidbits about our experience, the Black experience with voting in this country. And to that end, and this is the last thing I want to say about voting, I promise, I watched the short film this past weekend, actually on Oprah's Super Soul Sunday. She had Otis Moss III. He's a graduate of Morehouse College. His father, Otis Moss Jr., is a graduate of Morehouse College. He's a very prolific speaker, preacher, orator. And they did a short film based on his father, Otis Moss Sr.'s experience with voting. And I don't have all the details, but what I can briefly say is that I believe in the 40s, and I'll just say the 40s because I don't remember the exact year, Otis Moss Jr., I'm sorry, Sr., was going to exercise his right to vote for the very first time. He had been widowed because his wife had passed away, not because she was well, but because she was refused care at a white facility. And so she died as a result of that. So he was left with five children to raise. And he was going to vote. And because of voter suppression, he was bounced around. He walked 6 miles in one direction. They told him he was at the wrong place. He walked 7 miles in another direction. They told him he was at the wrong place. He walked 8 miles in another direction. When he finally got there, they told him that he couldn't vote because the time had elapsed. And then in the background, you see a white man walking in. And they pretty much just shared this story to show the importance of voting and for us to understand the sacrifice that our forefathers and our ancestors made so that voting, the privilege of voting, could be very easy for us. I've never had an issue voting. I've always been able to walk in, show my ID, get my card, cast my ballot, and walk out. I can't imagine what it would be like if there was issues in that process. And so if you get an opportunity to see Otis's dream, I would definitely Google it, look it up, share it with your family. I mean, obviously, today is really last minute. But I think it's a good story, and we should be talking about it. Anyway, nonetheless, I promised last week that we wouldn't harp on voting because I know that there are many of us that are suffering from some form of anxiety about today, because whether who we vote for or voted for wins or loses, there's this thought process that there's going to be some unrest that we're going to have to deal with. And so I was like, well, I don't want to add to people's anxiety by talking about the election. Like, I think people are fully aware of how important it is. So let's talk about some fun shit. Let's laugh, let's joke. And I decided to talk about social media. Because in the words of NeNe Leakes, whoo chow, the ghetto. Social media is so ghetto. And it's funny because I recall, and we'll just use Facebook in particular. Obviously, there are other social media platforms, but I remember being, first of all, I'm going to say I remember like MySpace pages. Like, I remember people building like skins, and they would have music playing in the background, and they would have backgrounds that moved. Like, people were really invested in building MySpace pages. And I think that there was also this platform that we probably shouldn't have been on as high schoolers called Black Planet. And it was like that same thing. You know, people were, I guess Black Planet was like the early hookup, the early hookup of web-based platform that me and my friends should not have been on at that age. But nonetheless, it was similar. People were designing Black Planet pages, the same thing with the skins and different things like that. But nonetheless, how we evolved to something like Facebook. And I recall that Facebook obviously started as a college-based platform, and you could only sign onto Facebook if you had an EDU. And so I remember being a sophomore in college, which would be 04-05. Morehouse had just been added, because obviously it started in like the New England area, you know, at one of those Ivies, Harvard or something like that. And then it kind of trickled out and went to like the state schools, and obviously probably the schools in, you know, definitely the schools in that surrounding area. The big, you know, the Big Ten schools, you know, the big universities. And it just took a while for HBCUs to be added. They were kind of adding schools, I don't know how often, but every once in a while. And so they had finally added Morehouse, and Spelman wasn't on. And I remember literally signing a petition to get Spelman added to Facebook, which is so crazy. And they got added. It was cool. And then eventually they added like high schoolers. Don't know how we went from college age students to high school students, but they started adding high school students. And then before long, it was open to anybody who had an email address. And then, you know, of course, it went downhill from there. Because it's hard to control and censor when it's open to the entire public, you know. Then we had all types of characters, for lack of a better word, who had access to Facebook and the people on Facebook, because the majority of the populace at that time were college age students or very young high school age students. So crazy where we've come from and where we are today. But what I will say about social media, because I believe this very firmly, it can be used for good or it can be used for evil. Like anything, you know, there's two sides to the coin. And from a good perspective, like, Facebook is a connector. I've had the privilege of having social media and having cell phones and different things like that. So I don't think I've ever been in a space or time where I was disconnected from, let's say, my high school classmates for too long. But when I think of somebody like my father, who graduated from high school in the 80s, you know, when those kids went away, they went away, and they really did lose contact. There wasn't a way for them to stay connected unless they had someone's phone number or someone's, you know, mailing address, and they like wrote letters. Like, that's how they stay connected with one another. They didn't have a platform like Facebook where they can just kind of peek in on people's lives and know what's going on. So I think Facebook is very exciting for them, because it allowed that generation of people to be connected with people that they literally had not seen in, excuse me, 10, 15, 20 years. And that's great. Oh, my goodness. Let me get a little drink of water. So I'm not hacking up the entire time I'm here. Oh, that's a real moment. So I think that Facebook is important in that way, because it allows people to be connected. It's allowed people to find long-lost family members. It's allowed people to find family members that they didn't know existed. It's made it easier to disseminate information between different groups. And so for that, we're thankful. We're grateful for Facebook for that ability. Especially for people who, for instance, live far away from their families, don't get a chance to go home often. People who perhaps are in the service and stationed abroad, people who are working or living abroad but still have family in one place. Like, something like Facebook has definitely enabled us to stay connected, and that's great. I also think it's a great marketing and promotion tool, you know, for those of us who have an entrepreneurial spirit but don't necessarily have the capital to invest in marketing, you know, because that's expensive. It's important, but it's expensive. Facebook has allowed so many people to market and promote their ideas and their businesses and hopefully grow their base so that they are in a position where they could possibly market in other ways. You know, even Facebook has built in marketing tools to make things easier for them as well. It hasn't always been that way, but you know, just putting up a post and saying and promoting this, like this concert's this week, like, you know, think about the days when we literally had to post flyers on walls, or we had to try to send something to a local radio station or something to the newspaper in order to promote a particular concert, you know, something, church announcements. Now you can literally put a flyer on Facebook and put it on your page, make it public, or send it out to a bunch of people and let them know that this is what you're doing on this particular day. It's just it's a great way to reach people in mass, you know, at one time. And so we're appreciative of that. But there's also a lot of ignorant bullshit on social media. There are people who are literally posting things just to rile people up, not really interested in it, in actual dialogue. They just put something up that they know is controversial and kind of walk away, you know. They leave their comments open, so that definitely says to me that they want to have a conversation about it, or at least they want to hear what people have to say, but they're not interested in having a debate or dialogue about what they've said, you know. And let's be clear, you have a right, you really do have a right to post whatever you want to post on your social media platform, and no one should feel like they're censored. However, if you're going to post something that you know is controversial, if you're going to post something that you know is going to ruffle the feathers of at least the people you follow, you know what I'm saying? Because you know the people who follow you, you know who your friends and your family are, then you have to be prepared to have a conversation about that stuff, you know, and not just automatically dismiss people and just pretend as if you haven't said something that is potentially harmful or detrimental to the community in which you are a part of. Like, let's be real. So you see a lot of that. You see a lot of, and I'm guilty of this, it's a lot of clickbait. You know, you'll see an article, because this is where we're getting our news from now. Nobody is really listening. I won't say nobody is really listening, but a lot of people aren't listening to CNN and MSNBC and turning on to the local news networks to figure out what's going on. As a matter of fact, all of these local news networks and all of these national and global news networks also have social media platforms so they can push out what it is they want you to know. And you know, we're posting and reposting things, not having fully vetted the story to know what's going on. You read it, the motherfucker got typos. I'm like, Lord, I'm gonna post this on my page. They didn't even spell the right, or the right. You know what I'm saying? It's like crazy. But nonetheless, we're posting and reposting, not really fact checking and not making sure things are appropriate or correct. Information is sometimes misconstrued, but we put it out there, and then, you know, now we got to fight. You know, it's like, well, you know, they came back 5 minutes ago and said this wasn't right. Now you got to pull stuff down, or you got to give a story as to why this ain't right. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And so you have a lot of this going on, especially when you get into like the groups that are on these social media platforms, like Facebook groups. I'm a part of a couple of groups. One of them is geared towards the alums of my institution and my sister institution. Obviously, you know who we are. And the stuff that goes on in there, woo child, the ghetto. So you have a lot of that going on. But that's not my problem. I'm going to tell you what my problem is. The prophets and the self-talkers and the motivational speakers and the therapist without degrees lined up on the end of their life coaches on social media. Talk about where me began. I understand that we're in this age where people really don't want real jobs. Like, people really don't want real jobs. And I also understand the importance of having disposable income and having, you know, multiple streams of income. But at the risk of fucking up other people's lives, like, people, come on, with this self-talk, it's driving me crazy. it is driving me crazy when a person who you can very clearly, obviously on social media, you can kind of portray what it is you want to portray. You know, everybody has the ability to put out there what they want you to see. So, you know, there's a lot of misinformation about relationships, about family lives, because people are, you know, about people's finances, because people are literally allowed to post what they want to post. So people are posting shopping sprees and trips and houses and cars. And that's no real indication on the quality of lives these people are living, but whatever, fine. Do I believe that that can be damaging to a community? Absolutely. Cause it's not factual. It's not true. You know, and we wonder, well, what are these people doing? I'm working hard as fuck and I don't have any of these things. What are these people doing? And that's one thing, but it's not as detrimental, in my opinion, to the self-talk and the motivational speaking, because people, again, are putting out there what they want you to see. And if I can look at what you're putting out there and be like, this is a whole goddamn mess. And in addition to it, your life being a whole goddamn mess, the life that you are purposefully putting out here to show that your life isn't a mess, and I can discern that it's a mess, and then on top of that, you're trying to give me advice on how to live my life, girl, good night. I can't. There's a person in particular, and it's like, you know, they're on social media with this bad wig. It's a bad wig, and it's not a woman, it's a man. It's a bad wig, and they're having these conversations with their exes, having these conversations about being free and liberal with their with their sexuality, which I think is perfectly fine. But they got like an OnlyFans page. We're trying to give relationship advice. It to me, it doesn't gel. You know, it doesn't gel. And I'm not judging a sex worker. Hey, you have to do what you have to do. You know, if I had a better body, maybe, you know what I'm saying? You know, all jokes aside, but literally I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with the person who is literally trying to help and heal other people when they are clearly broken. Like, that's an issue with social media. And it's laughable. It's laughable. You know, the people who sit in their cars giving advice to women, you know, the whole, act like a woman, think like a man way of living. Like, yeah, you know, people have definitely profited off of that whole concept that Steve Harvey started, where you have this man who's giving all of this advice to women about how they should live their lives. And then you peek in a little closer to this man's life and you don't see anything that promotes all this advice they give. And it's like, so, you know, if you're this upstanding man out here trying to help women, what's your life? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not necessarily saying it because I haven't investigated anybody. So I'm not saying that this particular person is living a life that's not the life that they're talking about. But there's a lot of people out there that's providing all of this self-help, this advice to women about how they need to govern themselves in order to get what they want. And as my grandma would say, and as Mahalia Jackson said, not living the life that they sing about in their songs. Prime example, Reverend John Gray. It's like, you know, listen, I understand that we're all human and we make mistakes, but how many goddamn times are you going to have to apologize to your wife about being out here acting crazy? But you are in a position where you're giving people advice on how they should govern themselves in a relationship and how they should treat one another, man and woman. And you're doing bullshit like this on a constant basis that we can see. Like, you are literally dragging this woman through the mud. But because she is a woman of God and a woman of faith, she's supposed to, and supposed to be a forgiving woman, she's constantly supposed to forgive your bullshit that's public. Not that cheating is a good thing, and I do think that people can come back from it, so I'm not saying that, but it would be better if their lives weren't so public. Like, people go through these types of things and people don't necessarily see it. Like, we've seen it, we've known it, we know your track record, but yet, you know, you know people are reposting his videos about going out and claiming it and being great to your partner and love and sacrifice and the things that you have to do to have a good marriage. Sir, you don't have one. So I can't. Mm-mm, no. Mm-mm. Like, we got to do better. We have to do better. And especially those people who are out here giving advice about relationship and career. Like, it's just a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot of drama. There's another character that I just can't stomach to watch. I did watch a video recently because I thought the video was wholesome. And I'm not a real reality TV person. Like, I like wholesome reality TV. So, like, I was into, like, Shanice and Flex and the Peets because it was, like, real family, real issues, real things going on. Did I watch Housewives when it first came out of Atlanta? Absolutely. But over the years, I was like, ugh, I can't. It's not real. I can't stomach this. And so I gravitate towards reality television shows that look at the family unit and the struggles that they have, which is why I really like, Flex and Shanice, because it was two people in the entertainment industry who have had issues, you know what I'm saying? And despite being, you know, being on the brink of bankruptcy, despite their home being in potential foreclosure, despite Shanice having to pawn her wedding ring, you know what I'm saying? She had to pawn her wedding ring so that they could pay their bills. And that's something that we lived. They still together. You know what I'm saying? They still managed to work it out. That man loves her, and you can see it. You know what I'm saying now? God forgive me if in the next 4 or 5 years they break up and we find out some bullshit, because I would be heartbroken. Like it's my auntie and my uncle. But at least from what I've seen, the years they've been together, they've raised beautiful children. You know what I'm saying? They've had real struggles with in-laws. Like, all the... But we got a chance to see it all. I enjoyed that take, because it was just, it seemed real to me. And I understand that even with reality TV, there's some level of script, there's some level of pandering to a certain idea, a certain concept, but it seemed real to me. I enjoyed that. And I feel like that they were helping people, they weren't hurting people, but some of this other shit just ain't real. And I really struggle with the people who are trying to speak encouragement and trying to, like, literally offer some form of therapy for people in relationships, especially in my community, in the Black community, because we already got problems. So we don't need people out there living a fucked up lives, trying to act like they're not living a fucked up lives. You know what I'm saying? And telling you that you shouldn't be judgmental. You shouldn't care so much and put so much energy into other people's fucked up lives. But this is what you're showing us, and this is kind of what we're supposed to pull from. It's crazy. Listen, I'm on social media. I use social media to promote Popping Off With Phil. At the core, I can tell you what it is and what it isn't. What Popping Off With Phil always has been and is an opportunity for me to be the voice that I didn't hear when I was growing up. When I was going through things, like trying to figure out what it meant to have my own separate identity. Your identity separate from your family identity. Your identity separate from your particular gender, your particular race, even identity in terms of your sexuality. Like, we're individuals. Yes, I'm Black. Yes, I'm Christian. Yes, I'm gay. But that doesn't mean that I fall into the overarching category for all Black, all gay, all Christian people. So you have to develop your own identity. And I wanted people to know that it's okay to struggle, that it's okay to not have all the answers. Yes, you're going to have some regrets in life. You're going to wish that you would have went left and instead you went right. You're going to wish that you would have went forward and instead you went backwards. You're going to wish that you pursued this opportunity over this opportunity. And it's okay. And it's okay that if the choice you made did not work out the way that you wanted it to, it's okay if you failed. It's okay if it took you a little bit longer than you anticipated. It's okay if choosing you means that there's a separation between you and your family. It's okay if choosing you means that there's a separation between you and what you grew up learning and knowing about Christianity and spirituality. Like, all of those things are individual. Like, you have to come to a place where you say, this is who I am as a Black man. This is who I am as a gay man. This is who I am as a spiritual person. And it's all separate from the larger entity. And I just wish that I would have had something like this letting me know that I'm not crazy, I'm not alone, that other people were going through this thing. Like, depression is real. Childhood trauma is real. Heartbreak is real. Forgiveness is important. And I just wanted to kind of put that out in the atmosphere. And I've been having these conversations in my friend groups for years. And they're like, well, turn into a podcast. So here we are. You know, it's always something I wanted to do. But it's no substitution for the real work that happens in therapy sessions, you know. And I want to correct something, because I said this when I was talking to John. And I was saying, you know, it's important to have therapists you can drink with. Let me be clear. It's important to have friends. I think it's important to have friends. And that's what I want to say. I think that friends are good. They're good to offer balance. They're good to offer a different perspective. However, they're not qualified when we're dealing with deeper issues of like trauma and abandonment and things that really need to be addressed either with medication or with a licensed trained professional. So that's no substitution, you know, for an actual therapist or a psychiatrist or a psychologist or whatever level of therapy that you might need in order to work through some of the things that you've had. So that's what Popping Off With Phil is. What it isn't, it's never been an advice corner, you know? Anytime somebody says, what are your thoughts on this? I try to put myself in the situation and say, okay, this is what I would do. This is how I think based on the situations that I've been in, or based on just pure logic. Because sometimes you've not been in the situations. I have to think that as a therapist, you haven't experienced everything that, well, I have to know. You haven't experienced everything that a client is going through. I mean, let's just be clear. If you've never been married, that doesn't mean that you're not qualified to be a marriage counselor. But, you know, you have a different perspective. You know, if you're not gay, but you have, you know, gay clients, obviously, different perspective. You know what I'm saying? If you are not male, or if you are a male and have female clients or vice versa, you've never really lived the life of the opposite sex. So you don't know, you know, same thing with color. If I'm white and my client is black, there's a lot that I can empathize with. But still, you know, just because you haven't been in a situation in a person's particular shoes doesn't mean that you can't offer a way of helping them through it. But there are definitely limitations, obviously. And so, you know, a person who is trained knows how to navigate through those limitations. I do not, you know? So I always tell people, you know, my advice or my thought process is no substitution for having a real conversation with somebody on a leather couch. And if I have a friend who actually is in therapy, the question is, have you got, my godson does that. Let me see. Have you actually had this conversation with your therapist? Is this something that's on the slate to talk about, to discuss? Because maybe you should. This is what I'm thinking, but maybe you should. And when I was in therapy and I had a similar situation, this is what kind of came of that. If it's a person who isn't in therapy, then it's like, I'm going to say this, but I'm also going to say that I think it's important that you sit down with somebody and actually have a conversation to figure out what the root of this actually is, because I think that that's important. So let me be clear to create a distinction. So I'm not being hypocritical in any way. I just think that there's a lot of people who are putting things out on social media. Because I laugh and I cry from laughing more than I actually walk away saying, that was a good bit of information. And I just think that we have to learn to be discerning on social media, because it can be difficult, you know, on top of people giving bad advice. And there's a lot of people out there giving bad advice who are not qualified to give advice, who are not living lives representative of the examples that they're trying to set. That's the one thing. But it also can be a very depressing place, because you have so many people who just want to use it as a place to vent or speak their truths and not be open to the realities of other people. Like, you see a lot of stuff on social media, like there's a lot of back and forth, especially in this one group that I'm in, about the toxic nature of the black man. And my goodness, this goes up in smoke every time. And I think that this is a conversation I would like to have with one of my female best friends about how it is being a black woman and having to live in this world like that. Like, oh, let me tell you what the article was. It was hilarious. It was saying that black men are the white men in the black community. And I mean, the men were in uproar. They really, really were. But I think that it's one of those things that we need to dissect, because nobody ever wants to be told that they're the problem. But that doesn't mean that they're not the problem. And I'm not saying that they are, but I'm just saying it's something that we need to delve into. If the women in your community are saying your nature creates an issue for me, I think it's something that we should talk about. I think it's something that we should digest. It's something that we should delve into, because we're supposed to be for one another. So that's just an example of some of the things that goes on social media. And it's just like, woo child, the ghetto. You know what I'm saying? On top of bad advice and toxic nature and posts that are used just to cause confusion, you also have people who have image issues based on what they see on social media. Woo child, the ghetto. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't imagine what life would have been like if I would have on top of already feeling insecure about certain things going on in my life, my looks and different things like that, that I had social media to echo that shit. You know what I'm saying? These are things that we just need to talk about. We need to discuss. I don't know if there should be some form of censorship on social media, what people can post and what they can't post. I know that Facebook is doing this thing now where they'll take down shit that they say violate their policies. And most people will be like, well, how can somebody post this and this doesn't violate policies? And I'm posting this and it does, and I'm trying to, you know, and some of it is valid. You know, people are actually posting things about the harm that's being done to the black community, and that's been taken down saying that it violates the post, but other people are putting up hate speech and nobody's saying anything about that. So, you know, it could be just the person who's actually regulating those filters that needs to possibly find some other form of employment, because they're not good at that particular job. But I just, what I want us to do is I want us to implore the old adage when it comes to social media, grain of salt. We know who we know. We know who our friends and we know who our families are. There's a lot of other stuff that goes up on social media that really ain't good shit. And we have to learn to figure out, you know, to kind of sift through, you know, like when you're looking for seashells on the beach and you're sifting through the sand to get to the actual shell. We have to learn how to figure out how to sift so that we don't ingest so much of that poison. Because it's important that we really do guard what it is that we're ingesting, what we're hearing, what we're seeing, obviously what we're eating, which is a different subject. But the point I'm trying to make is anything that we're taking into our physical bodies, we need to be cognizant of that. You know what I'm saying? And not create this whole campaign based on what somebody posted. That's a bunch of bullshit. Because, woo child, the ghetto. So anyway, I just wanted to laugh a little bit about that, joke a little bit about that on this day. My hope is that things are not as bad as people are predicting that they will be this evening and days, weeks, months to follow. But who knows? You know? Again, my hope is that everyone who hasn't already exercised their right to vote is doing so today as we speak. They're in line. And we'll see. You know, I think I've taken the approach that I've done my part personally, and then I've tried to do my part outside of myself by doing the podcast and having dialogue with people. Again, the majority of my circle are people who vote, so I don't know if there are people, I'm not aware of people that are in my circle, especially no one in my immediate circle, but if there's anybody else who's connected to me that isn't an active participant, I'm unaware of that, and we should probably keep it that way, because I don't think it's good for me to know. And so I hope that everybody has exercised their right, or is going to exercise their right, because I really don't want to have to cut anybody off. I know it's a possibility, but I really don't want to have to. but if it comes to that, it comes to that, because it's just that important. Anyway, I'm going to go. Try to have the most productive Tuesday that you can. we'll be back here next week to either cheer or cry. One of the two. I don't know which one it's going to be. But enjoy your day. Continue to like, continue to rate, continue to share, continue to repost. I appreciate it. Love y'all for real. Peace.